You know, here in the last couple of meetings that we've had, we studied Ezekiel 14, and we saw that God said there that if his people would put their idols before their face, he would answer them according to their idols. And if a person came to a prophet and that prophet was deceived, that I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. Why would the Lord deceive the prophet? Well, because people who have their own idols before their face, he said he would answer them according to their idols. Meaning, of course, I'll tell you what you want to hear. You know, if you lust after your own will, your own way, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that God will send you a delusion, that you'll believe a lie. The Lord said there that he would bring judgment upon all those that had pleasure in unrighteousness. That they would believe a lie. God would send them a delusion that they would believe a lie. Well, God still does that. In fact, that was basically talking about our day more than any other day, I think. And when we have our own self-will and we don't commit to being disciples of Christ, meaning we've given up our will for his will, then it always leads to deception. Why is it that there's so many religions out there that people are so convinced that they are the way? Well, they've got an idol. Their religion is an idol. Their self-will is an idol. They are not committed to giving up their life to do whatever God says. They don't respect the Word of God enough to make it a law for their life. You know, they don't respect it. We had a good example in 1 Kings 22 where Ahab and Jehoshaphat, Ahab in particular, wanted, he had his own personal ambition to conquer Ramoth-Gilead. So he invited Jehoshaphat, who was supposedly a good king, but he was very ignorant because he wouldn't have joined with anybody like Ahab if he hadn't been. It almost cost him his life. Well, because of his lust to go up against Ramoth-Gilead and conquer it, all of his prophets, 400 of them, said, "Go up to Ramoth-Gilead. The Lord hath given it into your hand." The Lord, the word there for Lord is Adonai, Adonai, has given it into your hand. And so, well, that's exactly what he wanted to hear. But Jehoshaphat had a hunch, a suspicion. And he said, "Isn't there another prophet of the Lord besides these? I mean, I'd like to hear from somebody else, you know." And maybe that was a word of wisdom that had come to him to save him from his foolishness. But at any rate, yeah, Ahab said, "Yeah, there's this one other guy, but I sure don't like him because he never prophesies any good of me." You know, so I said, "Well, don't say that. Let's listen to him." So basically they sent for Micaiah. Micaiah came and said, "Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper." So he told him what he wanted to hear, right? But Ahab was a little cagier than that, and he understood that, he's just telling me what I want to hear, you know. So he said, "How many times have I told you to tell me the truth, nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" So he said, "Okay, you want the truth? I'll give you the truth. I saw the Lord, and he said, 'Who will deceive Ahab to go up to Ramoth-Gilead so that I can wipe him out,' basically. And a spirit came before the Lord and said, 'I'll do it, Lord.' He said, 'Well, what will you do?' He said, 'I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets.'" All 400 of them, you know, this lying spirit told him, "Go." Do you think there's a lot of lying spirits in the mouths of prophets out there today? I guarantee it. I guarantee it because there is no difference in the people of God today and the people of God back then. There's an awful lot of them have their idols. And they want to go and they want to hear what they want to hear. If you don't tell them what they want to hear, they'll go find some other prophet that will tell them what they want to hear. They want their ears tickled, right? Well, the Lord said, "Go forth and do so." And so the lion spirit went forth and was a lion spirit in the mouth of all of Ahab's prophets, except for this one guy, Micaiah. You know, Micaiah told him the truth. But you notice they didn't pay any attention to him. And so they went up to Ramoth-Gilead, and Ahab lost his life there, just as the Lord said. But he was lied to by a multitude of his counselors. And It was all because of his idol. We have another example, you know, that you think, well, the multitudes have to be right. You know, if the majority of God's people believe something, it's got to be right. No, it's never been that way. Never has been. No reason for it to change now. Never has been that way, you know. I was thinking of number 16, you know, when the man-child Moses brought the children of Israel into the wilderness, and suddenly there was this great rebellion against the man-child. It was the Korah, Dathan, and Abiram rebellion. And, you know, Korah was a Levite, but Dathan and Abiram weren't even Levites, but they were usurping the position of a Levite, you see. Well, the Bible says that all the congregation, you go read it if you want to, number 16, all the congregation followed them and were in danger of being destroyed. Had not the word of the Lord came through Moses, and he told them, by the word of the Lord, separate from the tents of these men. And as you remember, God burned up the men with the censers who offered strange fire and opened up the earth and swallowed up these men and their families. But all the congregation followed this rebellion. Do you suppose if Jesus showed up today that he would meet with anything different than he did 2,000 years ago? No, he wouldn't. Matter of fact, the Bible says he is going to show up today. And he is going to be in his first fruits. You know, to bear fruit is to have Christ in you, right? He is coming in his first fruits. And once again, he's going to meet with a bunch of people, leaders especially, that don't recognize Jesus, don't recognize a Christian, which means Christ-like, right? They're not going to recognize the first fruits. They're leading a rebellion against the first fruits. And just as they did in Jesus' day, nothing changes. So, and in 1 Kings chapter 12, I believe it is, the northern 10 tribes decided it was too much trouble to go up to Jerusalem to worship at the true temple of God. So they just made their own. Yeah, no big deal. And they made their old golden calf, you know, to, you know, they said, these are the gods that brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. See, they made their old golden calf and worshiped around their golden calf and called him Jehovah, you know. And basically, that's 10 out of 12 tribes did that. They worshiped the image of the beast, and they had priests that were not Levites, which means, of course, they were not ordained of God. So here you go, folks. The majority of God's people are in rebellion against the Word of God today. What's the Lord going to do? Well, the Lord's going to do what he's always done, the exact same thing. He's bringing judgment so that people will fear the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, turn to him, turn to his word. The rest of them will continue on just to be persecutors of the people of God. So God doesn't change. His methods are the same as they've always been. Look at Ezekiel chapter 3, chapter 2, I think. Ezekiel chapter 2. If you're following, there's a very good chance that a lot of you out there are following ministers that are not ordained to the Lord. 10 out of 12 tribes. There's nothing different today about that. Do you know what it takes to be a leader in the kingdom of God today? Same as it's always been, right? Matter of fact, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to hold your finger there. I want to go to, well, my Bible open to it. Matthew 15. I want to go to Matthew 15. And then we'll come back there, all right? Hold on to Ezekiel 2. Matthew 15. I'm going to go start with verse 6. He shall not honor his father. That's not the point I wanted to get at, but this is the point that is. And you have made void the word of God because of your tradition. It's consistently the problem with the idols of the golden calf in our day and in their day. You've made void the word of God because of your tradition. You hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people honors me with their lips. They call me Lord, Lord, right? But their heart is far from me. In other words, they don't do what he says. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. And he called to him the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which enters into the mouth defileth the man, But that which proceedeth out of the mouth, this defileth the man. Then came the disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father planted not shall be rooted up. Now, what do you think he meant by that? There's only one thing you can plant if you're planting one of God's children, right? And it's the Word of God. And if you're planting your doctrines and your precepts of men and your traditions rather than the Word of God, guess what that plant is? It's a plant that the Father didn't plant. And what does he say? It'll be rooted up. There's only one thing the Father's planting, the Word of God. Where is he planting it? In the hearts of men. Matthew 13. Read it. So here he's talking about these people that were full of their traditions and their precepts and their own personal doctrines. He said that they are plants that the Father didn't plant and that they're going to be rooted up. You know the northern 10 tribes? They were rooted up. You know Korah, Dathan, and Abiram? They were rooted up. And we're coming to just such a time as that. We're coming to a great falling away because people have been satisfied to follow men and their traditions rather than looking for themselves. Verse 14, Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind guide the blind, both shall fall into a pit. Wow. So what do we really want for leaders? If you're going to follow these people that are full of their traditions, they go to their Bible schools, they make, you know, first of all, you can come out of Bible school and you can make people that are according to your particular religion. But you got to be a disciple of Jesus before you can sow the seed of Jesus to bring forth the life of Jesus in someone. That's the only plant that the Father's planting. All the rest of that's man. Well, God did that. God ordained Ezekiel. And he gave him a call here in Ezekiel chapter 1 and chapter 2. You know, Ezekiel means God will strengthen. He was a man child in his day. God will strengthen. God is going to strengthen a first fruits man child in our day in the image of Jesus Christ. And they're going to go forth and they're going to be hated and they're going to be made war against exactly like Jesus, exactly like Moses, just like Joseph, just like Ezekiel. Yeah, right. The history just keeps on repeating over and over and over. And we're coming to that time again now, you see. Well, when God called Ezekiel and he anointed him, he had to qualify him, you know. And I can't read all this, but I'm going to start in chapter 2 and verse 8. It says, But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that which I give thee. Well, here it is. If you're not going to be rebellious like them, in order to be qualified to minister for the Lord, you got to first open your mouth and eat what the Lord gives you. And when I looked, behold, a hand was put forth unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there were written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. And he said unto me, Son of man, eat that which thou findest, eat this roll, and go and speak unto the house of Israel. See, what can you speak? If you haven't come into agreement with God, if you haven't put the Word of God in your heart, if you're just playing religion, what can you speak? What have you got to say to God's people except leaven? What are you going to do? You're going to plant plants that the Father isn't planting if you don't have the Word of God in your heart. If you haven't, first of all, eaten the roll of the book yourself. See, when God ordains people, the first thing they got to do is they got to eat the roll of the book themselves. That means they got to become the Word made flesh, just like Jesus was, just like his disciples were, right? Because what comes out of you has got to be the Word. It can't be the traditions of men. That's the blind guiding the blind. They're all going to fall in the ditch. So you got to find out if these elders that you're submitting to, are they putting the Word of God in their heart? do they hear only the voice of God, or do they hear a lot of traditions that have been sown in them from men and their religions? All the Bible colleges in Jesus' day, not a one of them, made anything but Pharisees and Sadducees and Zelotes and people like that. Jesus didn't get his education from those people. Neither did his disciples. Be careful, folks. You know, if it's popular among men, if it's popular in Christianity, it's wrong. Every time. Every time. Son of man, eat that which thou findest. Eat this roll. Go and speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat the roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat. Fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. My words unto them. And verse 10, Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thy heart, and hear with thine ears, and go. This is what it is to eat it. When you eat something, it becomes who you are, right? It becomes your cells. Your cells are made from what you eat, right? You become what you eat. And that's what he's saying here, basically. First of all, you got to receive this word in your heart. You got to hear it with your ears. And then go, verse 11, and go get thee to them of captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord. Whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. In other words, it doesn't matter whether they listen or not. You just tell them the word, the truth. Don't tell them what they want to hear. Tell them what they need to hear, right? Now, have you studied to find out if your leaders are people who have eaten the word of God? Which means, of course, that they're living the word of God. Which means that's what an elder is, right? If they're not doing this, if you looked at their life and they're not living this, well, the only thing you're going to get from them is leaven, because you can only give what you are. And that's the only thing you can feed is what you are. So the important thing is, if you want to be just like that guy, well, fine, sit and listen to him. But if you want to hear the word of the Lord, first thing you got to do is have ears to hear and eyes to see. Where does that come from? It comes from the word of God. You get discernment. You get hearing from the word of God. You don't get it from religions. The disciples never got it from religions in their day. They had to overcome all that stuff in order to follow Jesus. And so it is today. So it is today. No one, John 3 and 13, no one hath ascended into heaven, but he that descended out of heaven, even the Son of Man. And then some versions say, who is in heaven, which is ridiculous because Jesus was standing right there talking to him. And it wasn't talking about Jesus being somewhere else or in heaven. Actually, there's no numeric pattern is in that part. No one hath ascended into heaven, but he that descended out of heaven, even the Son of Man. You see, who's going to heaven, folks? It is Christ in you. It is the Word in your heart that's going to heaven. That's what God is preparing. Sons of God, after the image of the first Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. He doesn't want your religion. He wants Christ in you, you see. And so we have to be very careful to make sure that we are giving God what he wants. Otherwise, it'll be the blind leading the blind. It'll be plants that the Father didn't plant, right? Now, Jesus said there are many called, but few chosen. Wow, many called, but few chosen. You know, there's a strong delusion out there about this called and chosen business, but let me just share a word with you. Romans chapter 9, and I'm going to start in verse 6. But it's not as though the word of God hath come to naught, for they are not all Israel that are of Israel. And I want to say to you, too, 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 says everything happens to Israel happens to the church, because they're a type and a shadow for the church. And you know, everybody that's in the church don't mean they're of the church. You know that? Everybody, there are some people in our midst that will be cleansed out. They will be separated. They will be separated by delusion, as we already have seen here in the last couple of weeks. They will be separated by deception and delusion. The wheat will be separated from the tares. The Lord said, let them grow, both grow together until the harvest. One sister sent me a farmer's view of the wheat and the tares, and he said, and which is true. I mean, I've understood the same thing. The wheat gets so heavy with fruit, it bows down. It bows over, you know, but the tare stands right straight up because its fruit is very little and not worth much, you know. It stands right straight up, but all the wheat bows down before the Lord, you know. For they are not all Israel that are of Israel, neither because they are Abraham's seed. What makes us Abraham's seed? What is it? Galatians says that, Galatians 6:16, I believe it is, that we're all Abraham's seed through faith. Right? Because they are Abraham's seed, are they all children? But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. What's the point he's making here, you know? But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, it's not the children of the flesh that are the children of God, but the children of the promise. So there are children that are born after the flesh. And then there are children that are born of promise. What does that mean? Well, it means the people of the promises, the people who walk by faith in the promises, these are the true children of God. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. But there are many fleshly Christians, and their birth is after the flesh. It's after religion. It doesn't have anything to do with being born again from the promises. The Bible says that we're begotten again through our obedience to the truth. That's what Peter said. Wow. You mean God expects us to obey? Everybody that believes will obey. They're able to obey. People that don't believe, they can't obey. Faith is the substance of the thing hoped for, folks. Faith without works is dead in itself. James said, I will show you my faith by my works. That's the only way you can prove you've got faith, is by your works. Lots of people claim faith, but the only way it can be proven is by your works. That's how the Lord's going to judge us, according to our works. So be careful. You hear these people that want to stay like they are. They make up convenient doctrines that we don't have to do anything to be saved. We just accept Jesus as our personal Savior. A bold-faced lie. There is no such thing in the Scriptures. There's no such verse in the Scriptures. Nothing even resembles that in the Scriptures. We're commanded to repent and believe. So, there are those that are actually children of God through promise. Verse 9. For this is a word of promise. According to this season will I come, and Sarah will have a son. And not only so, but Rebekah also, having conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, neither having done anything good or bad, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Election here means choosing. This is the chosen, folks. Not of works, but of him that calleth. There's the called and the chosen, right? Now all of the chosen have been called. But these are people who not only were called, but came. Then there are the merely called that don't come. You see, there are multitudes of these people that are called of God. The word kaleho, called, means invited. They've been invited of God. Now, what are they invited to? Well, I'm going to look at a few things about that. But I want to tell you that the chosen, the elect he's talking about here, that's the people who when they are called, they come. They accept the invitation, and they come. Okay. So there are many called, but few chosen. That's the word elect. Same word, eklektos. Many called, but few are chosen. Among all of the called out there, there are going to be a few that are going to be chosen. That's what our Lord Jesus said. And he said, and it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, even as is written, Jacob I love, but Esau I hated. Well, they were both sons of Abraham. And yet the Lord hated one of them. We're told in Hebrews chapter 12 that for one mess of meat, he sold his birthright, meaning he had a birthright as a son of Abraham, but he lost it. So much for eternal security, right? So the Edomites, of course, were the seed of Esau, and they represented the same people, the people that lost their birthright, right? So multitudes of people who are sons of Abraham after the flesh will not be after the promise, because They're losing their birthright. Now, how can that be? Well, look at Matthew 22 and 14. Matthew 22, at the parable that Jesus, where Jesus explained this and where he gives us this verse in verse 14, many are called, but few are chosen. Go back to 22 and 1. And Jesus answered and spake again in parables unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king. Who do you expect that is? That's God, right? Who made a marriage feast for his son. And, of course, let me say something, folks. The marriage feast is not in heaven. The marriage feast is at the bride's home, not at the groom's home. The marriage feast is on the earth. Now, most people don't know that. The marriage supper is in the groom's home. That's in heaven. That's at the end of the marriage. But the marriage feast is for 7 days. Guess what? 7 days. That's right. We're coming to the prophetic marriage feast of the last 7 days that God's people are at the bride's home before going to the groom's home. It fits perfectly. It's the Word of God. So the marriage feast is on his earth. Matter of fact, he was inviting his servants to come. His servants who were on the earth. Jesus was inviting his servants to come and partake of the marriage feast. Okay? And verse 3. And he sent forth his servants to call. There it is, the word call. They're called. They're called for what? He called them that were bidden. That's the same word for called. It's the same exact word for called up further up. This is the calling. Many are called. That's the same word. So he called them that were called to the marriage feast. And they wouldn't come. The word there means invited. Called, kaleo, means invited. They are invited to come and partake of a marriage feast. And guess what? They wouldn't come. Did that make them saved? No, because they're not going to be chosen. Who was being invited here? Israel, the Jews, God's people, the ones who had the covenant, they were being invited, but they weren't coming. You know, just because you go to church on Sunday don't mean you're coming and partaking of the marriage feast. The bread and the wine that's served at the marriage feast, folks, is the body and blood of Christ. We are partaking of his body, which is the Word of God. He was the Word made flesh. We are partaking of his blood, which the Bible says in Leviticus 17:11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. We're partaking of his life and his word. Only the people that partake of his life and his word are in this feast and going to the groom's home. And where is this feast? On the earth. They were invited to come. Verse 4, again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them that were bidden, behold, I have made ready my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed. And all things are ready. Come to the marriage feast. But they made light of it. Wow, it means it wasn't very important to them to study the word, nor walk in the steps of Jesus, which is what his blood represents. You know, you understand why you are what you are naturally? Because of the blood of your parents. That's what you have to overcome because of the blood, the life and the nature of your parents. That's what you're overcoming. The sins of the parents are passed on to the children of the third and fourth generation. Who broke that curse? The Lord did. Is it naturally broken? No, you have to overcome to break it. You have to overcome by faith in the promises to break that curse. The Lord did this at the cross. He delivered you from the curse. Look around you. Have you been totally manifestly delivered? No, but it's there for you. So, it's like this marriage feast. It's there for you. But you see, everybody was distracted. They made light of it. They went their own ways, and one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the rest laid hold on his servants and treated them shamefully and killed them. Who's he talking about here? He's talking about his first covenant people, the Jews. Watch. But the king was wroth, and he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Well, that was 70 A.D., So now, he starts verse 8. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they that were bidden, or called, were not worthy. Notice, it's only the called, folks. And the called are always the covenant people. Did you notice this? Jesus said, look, I'm only sending you to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He only sent them to the called people. They had a covenant. They had a right. He sent them to heal them, to cast out their demons. Only to the covenant people, because they're the only people who have a right to that. You have to be born again before you have the rights to partake of this marriage feast or to partake of the healing and the blessings. You have to be one of God's. Now, I admit that there are some people that they were called from the foundation of the world. Maybe you don't know it yet, and God can even do a miracle for them because they were called from the foundation of the world. And sometimes people are converted because of that once in a while. But most often, people get healed and delivered because they are already believers in Jesus Christ. They accept the gospel. The good news is the power of God to save the one that believes, right? So he said to his servants, the wedding's ready, but they that were bidden are not worthy. Go ye therefore to the partings of the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage feast. Call to the marriage feast. And those servants went out into the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was filled with guests. And that is on this earth, folks, that we're partaking of this marriage feast, feasting with the bridegroom. You see, folks, it doesn't matter whether you walked with Jesus back then and he made you his disciple or whether you walk with him now and he makes you his disciple. Just because you can't see him doesn't mean you can't walk with him and him make you his disciple. It makes no difference. Matter of fact, by the Holy Spirit, that's exactly what he does. Verse 11, but when the king came in to behold the guests, he saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment. Now, I need to point this out to you, that after verse 7, he was going to the Gentiles. Up to verse 7, he was going to the natural Jews. And after verse 7, he was going to the New Testament spiritual Jews, the Gentiles, the church, I should say. Not just the Gentiles, but the church. And verse 11, but when the king came in to behold the guests, he saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment. In other words, he hadn't been dressed up with Christ. He didn't put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't have the righteous acts of the saints. I believe it's Revelation 19 and 7. The bride had on a garment, a brilliant garment, a glowing, brilliant garment, which is the righteous acts of the saints. We have to put on the wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? Now, you don't think anybody's going into heaven by accident, do you? You see, this is on the earth that we're talking about. But how do you get into this wedding feast by not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless, as a lot of people are today. And as they would be, should the Lord ask them that question. How did you get in here among the saints? What are you doing here? I mean, a lot of people who claim to be Christian would be speechless if the Lord asked them that, wouldn't they? Well, I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. You know, or a lot of other goofy things that aren't even in the Bible. You know, see, people are trusting in man. They got idols. They're trusting in men. And they're being sown, but the Father's not sowing them. That's the problem. We got to repent, folks. Listen, we've lived through times of ignorance, and God's been merciful. But we're coming to times of responsibility because the truth is being known. And the more the truth gets out, the more responsible you are. And he was speechless. Then the king said unto the servants, bind him hand and foot and cast him forth out into outer darkness. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Cast him forth out of the midst of the wedding feast, out from the midst of God's people. You remember how that there was only light among God's people in Egypt, right? There was darkness all over Egypt. But in the midst of God's people, there was light. So many are called, but few are chosen. Now, who is he talking about the called here? In both cases, he was only talking about covenant people. Only covenant people. And the same is true in Matthew 25. He's only talking about covenant. I'm making a point here that's important, okay? He's only talking about covenant people. Many are called, but few are chosen. Yeah, just like we started out looking at all the types and shadows of the golden calf, the northern ten tribes, so on and so forth. Many are called. Well, we have a parable similar in Matthew 25 from 14 through about 30, where a man going into another country called his own servants. Now, it's just ludicrous that people would say, yeah, this is the people of the world. No, it's not. This is his servants. This is the people of the kingdom. This is the people that have been called on earth covenant people. He's going into another country, called his own servants, and delivered unto them his goods. Now, who did the Lord give his goods to? The world? No. He gave it to his covenant people. All of his benefits are given to covenant people who are in covenant with him. Okay? And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. And you remember the story. The story was, of course, the guy with the 5 brought forth 5 more, and the one with the 2 brought forth 2 more, and the one with the 1 hid his talent in the earth. He didn't bear any fruit. So the Lord came back after many, many years and made a reckoning with these people. And the ones that bore fruit, fine. The one that didn't was once again cast into outer darkness, separated from his people. Matthew 13 tells us, folks, that God's going to send forth his angels and he's going to gather out of his kingdom all those that do iniquity and cause stumbling. Then shall the righteous shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. No, these are the days when God is going to gather out of his kingdom those that do iniquity and cause stumbling. Where's the kingdom of God? Jesus said it's in the midst of you. This is where he's doing the separation, folks. Even the mark of the beast does that, because multitudes bowed down to the image of the golden calf that claimed to be Jehovah's people. 10 out of 12 tribes. Here comes the mark of the beast. What's it going to do? It's going to separate the wheat from the tares. The people that claim to be Christians and they're not. Oh, I know they had an experience and they accepted Jesus as their Savior, but that doesn't amount to a hill of beans before God, folks. It's going to be, does Christ live in you by the Word? Have you repented and believed? Not believed what you want, believe what the Word says. So, the Lord made a reckoning with these servants the same way. Notice, he called his own servants. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. You know if you're called. You know if you're called. You know why? Because everybody that's saved is called. Matter of fact, look at 2 Timothy. I want to show you. 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 9, who saved us and called us. Notice that you're saved before you're called, because only the saved are invited to come to the marriage feast. Only the covenant people. Now, I went to a few years ago. I was invited to a church over in one of the next towns here to have a discussion with 2 pastors over there. And I'll tell you right off, they weren't pastors because they hadn't been filled with the Holy Spirit. And according to the New Testament, you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit before you are ordained. So they weren't filled with the Holy Spirit. They weren't pastors. They were just heads of religions. So it ended up being a kind of a debate, although I was trying very hard not to make it a debate. It was still ended up in somewhat of a debate here. Well, these 2 pastors, their particular religion does not normally accept the doctrine of election. Oh, it doesn't matter that it's in the Bible. They don't normally accept it. These 2, they did believe. That's why they wanted to talk to me. They did believe in the doctrine of election. You know, people say, do you believe in predestination, David? Well, of course. It's in the Bible. What right do I have not to believe it? Now, I may not believe in what some people believe about predestination, but I have no right not to believe it. I have to accept what the Word says. You have to accept everything the Bible says. Do you believe in election, David? Of course. It's what the Bible says. Now, maybe I need some help from God to correctly define election, but it's there. It's in the book. We read it. So we have to believe it. So, anyway, notice it says, saved us and called us with a holy calling. The word called is invitation. We are invited to be holy. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord, the Bible says. We have a holy calling. not according to our works, but according to His purpose, His own purpose, and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before times eternal. Notice He saved us and called us. So anyway, these guys had this doctrine of election, and guess what it was? Since they were unconditional eternal security, they believed that everyone that was elect is saved. It's all, in other words, all the saved people out there in the world, these are the ones that are elect. And I told them, I said, you're leaving an awful lot out here, guys. Their doctrine was that the call was to the world. We go out and we invite the world to come to Christ. And I put a challenge before them. I said, I'll tell you what, do. You get your concordance out. You look up the word called. In every place in the New Testament it's used. And you show me one place where it's used concerning salvation or anything of someone who doesn't have a covenant with God. Either the Jews first or the Christians. You show me one place. And, of course, they were kind of searching for words because they hadn't done that. But I had done that. I took the New Testament and looked all the way through it. And I found out consistently just what this verse says. He saved us and then He called us. He invited us. We, as children of God, are invited to partake of His blessings. What did Jesus say? He don't take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. He was a Gentile woman that wanted the benefits of the kingdom. He said, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dog. We are the children. We have a right to healing and deliverance, which is what she wanted for her daughter. However, because she expressed faith, and faith is accounted as righteousness, according to what the New Testament says, the Lord accepted that. In the Old Covenant, it wouldn't have been accepted. But He accepted that. It's not right to cast the children's bread to the dogs. Listen, we are the ones who are invited to partake of the benefits of the kingdom. And we're the only ones that can be holy. This is a holy calling. So their doctrine was, every saved person out there is elect, which is the word eklektos, which is also the word chosen.